I want you to take a moment and take a look at the people around you. All right? In front of you, behind you, down the pew. Now, would you say that these people are like you? Or maybe a bit different from you? Did you notice any differences in age or maybe education or culture or profession or I don't know, maybe you spotted something else? The truth is that most churches are pretty diverse places. Most churches bring broad segments of society together. I mean, imagine this. This is an altogether possible scenario that in this church or any church here in Kamloops that you could find a manager from a local mill or mine, a unionized tradesperson working in that same location, and then someone else who thinks that that mill or mine should be closed. Right? It's completely possible. It's completely possible that you would see these three people together in worship, maybe even enjoying a conversation together during coffee time. I mean, that's what makes the church unique, right? Or one of the ways that the church is unique. This doesn't happen just anywhere. We tend to associate with people who are more like ourselves. Just think about the last time you hosted a dinner gathering. Not one for family, but for friends or neighbors. Or maybe the last time you were at a dinner gathering. Not for family, but for friends or neighbors. My guess is that everyone was approximately the same age, give or take a decade. That most had the same level of education. That household income levels were comparable. And that when someone mentioned the latest controversy in U.S. politics, that everyone was pretty much on the same page. We tend to associate with those who are similar. I mean, and it makes sense. It's easier. It's just easier. It's easier to build relationships with those with whom we have lots in common. Of course, this makes the church an unlikely institution, an unlikely body. This makes the church vulnerable to division. I mean, it's hard to maintain any significant ongoing unity. It's easier to accept the established divisions in our culture. It's easier to stick with our own tribe and their wants and needs. In the ancient world, there were all sorts of established divisions. For the Greeks, the criterion was cultural. I mean, there were the Greeks and the barbarians. For the Romans, the standard was political. There were free men and slaves. And for the Jews, the difference was religious. Those inside the covenant, those outside the covenant, the Jews and the Gentiles. With the death and resurrection of Jesus, though, that old Jewish religious division was being bridged as the gospel was being taken to the nations. We see that in Acts chapter 10. Remember Acts chapter 10? Peter has that vision of the canopy coming down loaded with all sorts of animals that a good Jewish person shouldn't be eating. Well, that's part of this invitation to go visit a Jewish person and share the gospel with him and his family. Before Peter does this, maybe somewhat reluctantly, and before he gets to the final sermon illustration, the Holy Spirit falls on all those who are listening. Peter is sometimes stubborn, but even he can recognize God's activity and has them baptized then and there. In the early church, the spread of the gospel was bridging old divisions. I mean, last week we heard that how in Antioch, Jewish and Gentile Christians were sharing the same table. something unheard of before then. In the early church, the spread of the gospel was bridging these old divisions and creating a new unity among Jewish and Gentile followers of Jesus. But there were some who questioned this unity, some who were determined to retain old walls, reestablish old divisions. They argued that Gentile believers needed to adopt Jewish law, essentially becoming ethnic Jews. And it starts to look like this new unity won't last, that tribalism is inevitable. But when Paul hears what is happening, he's stirred into action. He writes to the church at Galatia and helps them better understand the role of the law and God's promises in light of the gospel. I mean, God's promises were important to Paul. I mean, God just doesn't forget things or change his mind. A promise made is a promise kept. But how does that relate to the law? Well, Paul, he values the law, but he notes that it's both preceded and superseded by the promise of God. And he traces it back in history. I mean, the circumcision party was saying, hey, don't forget God's covenant, the covenant of circumcision given to Abraham. Well, Paul goes back further. Paul notes that before the covenant of circumcision was given, that God had given Abraham a promise, to bless him and to make him a blessing to all the nations. Paul gives this circumcision party a schooling in history, and then notes that this promise, this blessing, has in fact already come. It's come to the Jews and Gentiles by means of the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ, just as God has promised. Paul argues that it's a reliance on God's faithfulness, the faithfulness of Christ, which was first modeled by Abraham, that ultimately makes Jews and Gentiles Abraham's true offspring. Not the law, the promise. The law, well, it was a babysitter. It was restraining sin. It was a curb. It was a mirror showing that it in itself could bring no life. It was helping them understand and wait for the arrival of Christ. So Paul takes the Galatians on a good tour of history, an overview of theology, all to help them see that the source of their unity is Christ, not their Jewish ethnicity. Paul notes, as Peter had noted earlier, that God's Spirit stands as witness to this reality. The Galatians' reception of God's Spirit demonstrates that in Christ they are Abraham's descendants, the true seed of Abraham, the children of God. Now you may wonder, well, this is interesting, of course, nice understanding of how the church came about and the early conflicts within it, but I mean, what does this have to do with us? We're not often beset by disputes about circumcision or keeping kosher. I mean, maybe a generation ago, there were arguments about keeping the Sabbath, but as far as I know, that argument never threatened to tear the church apart. But there are modern controversies that do threaten our unity. I mean, just think about fights over styles of worship or divisions over issues of human sexuality. While these conflicts are indeed different than what the Galatians faced, I think Paul's arguments can also be useful in these situations. I mean, just think a little bit more about it. Maybe you think that we need a more contemporary expression of worship here in this place. I mean, sure, that's a worthwhile discussion. But it's also important to keep in mind that we didn't receive God's Spirit because we had guitars in our service or because pipe organs were playing. Our faith is rooted in the faithfulness of Christ. Maybe you think that our ideas about human sexuality are antiquated and repressive, that the church needs to make some changes. I mean, go on to Facebook. You know, our General Assembly's coming up. If you look up Presbyterian Church in Canada, you'll find all sorts of discussion about this issue. Maybe the church does need to make some changes. But human diversity and its celebration isn't what binds us together. No, we are a diverse community, but that's not what binds us together. No, we are united in our new humanity. The fact that in Christ, God has adopted us, has made us children, the true children of Abraham. When we lose our focus on Christ, well, we lose the reason for being together. And it's easy to fall into different factions or seek different goals. But when we focus on Christ, we find a shared unity and are enabled to thrive as one body, maintaining a unique witness to the world. I mean, when we guard this focus, our unity in Christ, ranchers can break bread with city slickers. Progressives can have coffee with traditionalists. The young can sing the favorite hymns of an older generation, and the old can sing the new choruses of the up-and-comers. Because we are baptized into Christ, because we are clothed in Christ, well, in Christ, we are one. Yes, we will continue to have disagreements. We will continue to see things differently inasmuch as we come together with different sensibilities, everything that we bring with us from our childhood. But guarding that common center of our faith, we will remain united. May this be so, even here at St. Andrew's. Thanks be to God. Amen.